The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Five oh six on the Central Coast as we roll through the Friday afternoon. I'm Dave Congleton. Short week, but I came back on Wednesday from my big adventure in the Netherlands. And if you didn't hear the conversation from Wednesday, we'll give you a chance to hear it again at 6 o'clock tonight. I had lunch with Jeff Stolberg today, and he passed along his regards to everyone. And Jeff loves Amsterdam, and he was listening to the show on Wednesday, and he said after I was finished, he really wanted to go on a river cruise. And my friend Steve texted me today that he heard this segment. He wants to go there. People want to go on river cruises. And I'll repeat what I said on Wednesday. If you have a chance to go on a river cruise, by all means, go. They're wonderful and relaxing, and I can't say anything bad about them, but they're just really expensive. So if you can afford it, by all means, go. I got lucky. I got the bargain basement room, and I showed up, and they upgraded me. They gave me a free upgrade. I got really lucky. I could take another 10 river cruises, and I wouldn't get that. Next week, we got a little bit of everything. The film festival's right around the corner. So Skye McClellan is going to join us on Monday. She's the executive director of the film festival, and she's going to put the spotlight on it. On Tuesday, actor Beau Bridges, who has a film in the festival, he's going to be joining us. Lucy Wickstrom, our young history scholar, was here in February getting ready for her big solo trip across Europe. She spent 31 days traveling Europe by herself. How to go, she'll let us know on Monday. And we'll keep an eye on this Board of Supervisors meeting we were just talking about and the Dana Reserve project. Seems to be opinions going on both sides. My phone was blowing up today, apparently not the only one. We have a new head of the county, Matt Pontes. P-O-N-T-E-S. The job has been offered, and he's accepted. And I guess the supervisors are going to confirm all this. Well, starting this morning, people were spreading rumors about this gentleman with his history of felony embezzlement. And then the Tribune came out with an article just before the show started. They looked into it. I don't have the article in front of me, but apparently this was like 30 years ago. He was maybe 20 years old, and he participated in some kind of activity with other people and ended up stealing less than $500. So Jeanette Trumpeter just issued this statement within the last hour. The County Board of Supervisors is aware of a 30-year-old theft conviction for Mr. Pontes when he was 20 years old. The county did a thorough background investigation. Just as none of us would want to be punished for the mistakes of our youth, for which we have made amends, the board is confident this is a one-time incident for which he paid the price and has since then offered 30 years of reputable public service. I also point out he's a Cal Poly graduate. Mr. Pontes was fully transparent during the interview process. The board stands behind its choice of him for the role of county administrative officer, and we're confident he will lead us in the direction we need to go. I know nothing about the man. I know nothing about the details of the incident. Just what the Tribune has been reporting. It seems to me that I would not want people judging me by stories of events of when I was 20 years old. So I'd like to know more, but I'm not worried about this. It's my personal opinion. Anyway. So there's really big news to announce today. There's huge news, even more than the story about our new head of the county. And I go to Craig Hill to share that news. Craig, what is this? Huge news we have to share.
I don't know if it's huge news or a huge warning. Well, my son got his driver's license, so everyone be aware.
Uh-oh.
If you see some chunkhead driving around and he looks kind of confused, that's probably him.
What's he driving?
Well, he's going to be driving a 1999 Jeep Cherokee.
So if you see a 1999 Jeep Cherokee coming your way.
Yeah, there's very few of those Jeep Cherokees out there. Very, very rare. So if you see one, then that's him and look out.
Now, did you teach him how to drive?
Yes.
Okay.
And
did he take to it right away?
Yeah. He's a good driver. He's very cautious. He's a bit indecisive because he's just nervous about getting it right, getting anything right. And so that would be my concern is he needs to get some confidence. And but he's a bit of a chunkhead. I always, you know, he knows that he's
you're talking about your son.
Yeah, he's smart.
You're talking about your son on the radio.
He's smart, but he's a chunkhead. Picture a guy that hangs out at a gym. He's like, yeah, bro, what's up? You know, that's him. And wow. he's not the most aware of everything around him at all times. You know, some people are very perceptive and they see things that other people don't see. He's the opposite. He doesn't see things that he doesn't care about.
He's young.
Yeah, he's a kid.
He's young. But he's a good driver. Would you get in the car with him?
He got his license.
Oh,
he didn't hit a car when he was pulling in after the test. I'll say that.
Okay, all right. Well, I was going to go there. When I took my driver's test, age of 16, Libertyville, Illinois. But in those days, this goes so far back. I had driver's ed as part of.
Yeah.
Oh no, this gets even better. I got a two parter here. Mr. Williams, Roger Williams was my, Roger Osborne. Mr. Osborne was my driver education teacher. Because in those days, you had the school had cars.
Yeah, same as
and
me.
And Mr. Osborne taught government and driver's ed. And for the final exam, I was driving, and there was a guy and a girl in the back seat, and Mr. Osborne, because on the passenger side, he also had brakes, so he could stop.
Yeah.
I ran a stop sign on my final exam, and I still passed. I got a C in driver's ed. So then I go to take my driving test, and I did okay on the written test. I go to the driving test. It's in Libertyville, Illinois. And the guy takes me out. I don't know. We're out about 20 minutes. And we come back. We're the parking lot. And I go to pull into the space. And I hit this car. I kind of dinged it. And the guy goes, well, you know, I'm going to have to fail you. And I said, well, yeah, I kind of figured that when I hit a car in the lot. And he said, no, that's not it. The reason I'm going to fail you is that I didn't like the way you parallel parked. The hitting the other car, well, it might have been icing on the cake.
Yeah, no big deal there.
But I came back the very next day and I nailed it.
What'd you get? Did you get 100% on it?
Well, I don't remember. I got my license. You know,
that's all you care about.
That's all I care about. So it took me two tries, and on my final exam in driver's ed, I ran a stop sign.
I can't believe you hit a car parking after your exam. And that's not why you failed.
I know. That's not making this up. We all have stories. All right, let's take the break. We'll come back. Open up the phone lines. It's the open line. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about all the way until 6 o'clock. Craig Hill, Dave Congleton, that equals Hometown Radio. That's our open line. We welcome your phone calls any topic, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. If nothing else on your mind, just call and talk about how you learned to drive a car. We go to Alan in San Luis on KVEC. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Craig. Well, hey. I can talk about driver's training. No, I never hit a car or had problem parallel parking. But yes, at 16, I did take driver's training, and you're going, how did I manage that?
Well, yeah, because you can't see, for people who don't know.
Right. Well, the vision is degenerative, so my vision was better, much better, when I was a kid. Not great, just better. And I was learning to use contact lenses. This is in the days of the hard plastic contact lenses. They didn't breathe.
Yeah.
And I could never get comfortable with them. So I actually did not go for the license, knowing that, one, the vision was going to keep deteriorating, and two, I just didn't feel comfortable that from hour to hour it was going to be that great, because my eyes were irritated by the lenses. But yes, I did take driver's training.
So it's interesting. You call it driver's training. In Illinois, it was driver's ed.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
But it was part of your school program?
Yes.
So, Craig, when you were at, you went to Morro Bay High, right?
Yeah.
Did they have driver's training, Ed?
Yeah, driver's ed, Mr. Pop.
Mr. Pop?
Mr. Pop. And I bet if I, just saying Mr. Pop, I bet at least three people call in.
That's his name?
To glow about Mr. Pop.
That's his name?
Yeah, Mr. Pop was the coolest, best, most awesome teacher on the planet that's ever lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it may have been called driver's ed when I took it. I don't remember. It's been a while. But
what'd
I got
you call,
the experience
what'd you call
of being
Morro
behind
Bay
the wheel and not hitting anybody, so this is good.
Yeah, driver's ed. That's what it is.
Yeah.
What it was.
Not driver's training. I don't know. Yeah. All right, Alan, thank you. Have a good weekend, sir. Eric is with us on KVEC. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Dave. Hey, we had driver's ed in Paso Robles, so just FYI.
All right.
But yeah, I wanted to comment. You were just saying things about our CEO who's going to be voted in on the Senate consent agenda, it looks like, on Tuesday.
Right. I was just reading Jeanette Trumpeter's statement.
So, interestingly enough, I've spoken with people from Shasta County that have explained the mess that he made there, and it took 2 years to recover from. And, you know, you have to look at the history of our CEOs. We fired one that was perfectly good that nobody had a problem with. Well, we didn't fire him. We told him, if you go away, we'll give you a good review. And if you don't, we're going to not give you a good recommendation going on in the future. And then we hired a guy that, you know, basically was accused of molesting women. We ignored it. And then the second time somebody came up, they said, oh, my gosh, we shouldn't have ignored this. We've now opened the county up to liabilities. We have to fire him and make an example. And this has been the liberal majority doing all of this. And then now we have this guy who embezzled money, maybe in his 20s, whatever it was. But he also apparently made a mess in Shasta County. He was actually offered the same deal, on my understanding, that Wade was offered. If you go away, we'll give you a good review. And if you don't, we won't.
Yeah, but those are two different issues. and if there are allegations of incompetence, then that,
well, this guy, this is what he does. He steals money from other departments and funnels it into 401 or 501c3s. Very good at taking monies from, like, sheriff's departments, et cetera, and giving them away to homeless organizations. What's Bruce Gibson's main thing he wants to do is give money to 501c3s. He made it our top priority. He made it very clear he doesn't care about our roads. And he found a CEO that has a history of doing exactly what he wants that person to do, right, just like he found in John Nyland.
Well, but that's a legitimate concern. But based upon what Jeanette was saying and what the Tribune reported this afternoon, I don't think that being involved in stealing money when you're 20 keeps you from having a job when you're 50. You've got
my understanding. It wasn't an embezzlement charge. And do you want your CAO to be in have felony accounts of embezzlements, no matter when it happens?
Well, I think if you look at the context and the timing,
if you look at what I just told you, how he's very good at taking money from other departments, it's almost like embezzlement. He's taking money that's supposed to go somewhere else and funneling it into pet projects of supervisors that like him.
Yeah, but that's legal.
Is it? The sheriff's department is elected in every position. They get their basically endowment from the county to spend however they want. So when you start stripping that, it actually is not legal. You can find maybe some legality, but their budget is the sheriff's budget. Ian Parker, he gets his budget. He spends it how he wants to, not how the Board of Supervisors wants him to. So when you start stripping him of that,
I'm not defending.
Now, you're threading a line that's right. Not quite legitimate.
I'm not defending his competence. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Santa Barbara and Bakersfield also don't have great positive things to say about him. And Shasta County basically said, you do not want this person.
That's a different story, though. And that's something that I hope the media will explore.
I don't think the Tribune will.
We'll see. All right. We will follow up.
Karen will do something.
All right. If Veely will do a story, we'll have her on the show.
All right.
All right, sir. Have a good weekend. What is going on in the county building? We go to Brian in Los Osos. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good, Brian. What's up?
Oh, so you were talking about driver's training, and I had took mine my sophomore year in high school. I had driver's training.
Where'd you go?
BHS. Once a driller, always a driller. It's over in Bakersfield High School.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I also learned a lot just watching my old man drive. I can remember my freshman year out to lunch with the girls, and one of the girls couldn't parallel park. And I said, I can do it. It's easy. I just had watched my dad, and, you know, I learned a lot from that guy. I miss him.
Well, it's funny. My dad, we would go to work together because I worked with him on Sundays at a local retail store, and he would let me drive there and home. And that's when I really learned to drive, was that time. Because just knowing that my dad trusted me to drive him around made me extra cautious.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah. Good story, Brian. Thanks for sharing. Before the news break, let's get to Jeff and Cayucas. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jeff. Hey.
Quick comment on the county CEO. You know, it's not so much if he had an old felony that was expunged, but whether or not he disclosed it on his application.
My understanding from the Tribune article is that this was disclosed to the San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors during the interview process.
It was disclosed during the interview process, and they vetted it. At least it's not an integrity issue on his part with the fact that it occurred. Everybody makes mistakes, and you do have to successfully complete, you know, 3 or 5 years of felony probation under supervision to get something like that off your record. So if he went 30 years without, you know, having another offense, you have to hold open the possibility that people do change and learn from their mistakes.
Oh, I think so. Now, the other stuff about whether or not he's competent, that's a separate issue, and I have no way of judging that at this point.
I was just weighing in on whether an old conviction in and of itself could be a disqualifier, and my concern was if he didn't disclose it in the application process. Yeah. But if he didn't, was transparent about it, you know, to me it takes a strong person to be willing to own up to your mistake.
Yeah. I agree with you totally. I don't think there's anything to that part of the story. But we'll see where they go with it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a good weekend. Am I missing something here, Craig? Do we judge somebody on what they did? I mean, this is like that Brett Kavanaugh thing all over again.
Yeah, yeah, I don't. Except for this is actual facts versus not.
Whatever.
I don't think he should be judged by that, but... And if there's no history after that, then that's fine. It's something a dumb, you know, 20-year-old would do. But what he has done since professionally, that 100% comes into the field of play.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there better be something, as they say, there, and not just you don't like what he does.
Right. And the Tribune links to the articles up in Shasta County, and there are clearly people up there of a certain political persuasion who did not like this guy. So I think it's pretty complicated, but we will follow up on it. Right now, we're going to go to news and traffic and weather. We'll come back and chat some more. What's on your mind? It's our Friday afternoon open line. Always good to be with you, Dave Congleton, Craig Hill, on our Friday afternoon open line, where Cheryl is texting in on the Stolberg line. We've been talking a little bit about driver's ed. Cheryl writes, I went to Rio Grande High, took driver's ed through the one-way streets of San Luis in 1970. Didn't ever hit another car, just knocked the antenna off on a tree branch in the process of trying to parallel park. There you go, Craig. She's trying to parallel park, knocks the antenna off.
It happens, I guess.
I like that story. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. We welcome your phone calls and your text messages. What do you want to talk about? Well, you can call and say hi. You can promote an event. You can ask a question. If you want to talk about driver's ed, that's fine. You want to talk about something we've talked about the last few days, that's fine. You want to go in a different direction, that's fine too. You kind of pick it. You're in the driver's seat.
Yeah. Wow.
Just don't hit another car.
Radio professional.
It wasn't a dent. I just kind of, dinged it.
Did you leave your number?
No, there was right there. I was with the guy and my dad was there.
Was it?
It wasn't. You couldn't even see. It was a.
I'm guessing it was like back when they had chrome bumpers.
It would have been 19.
So you didn't swap paint or anything?
No. It was. When was I 16? This would have been 1969. This would have been May 1969. All right. Back on the phones we go. Here's Jack in San Luis. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Dave.
Jack.
I've been giving some consideration during my waking hours to the budget situation in the state of California. And I've been unable to listen to your show for the better part of 2 weeks. Have we had somebody on to discuss the disaster that is looming in the not-so-distant future in California with regard to the budget?
Well, Jack, it's a two-part answer. Number one, I've been away for most of the last 2 weeks, and I'm only back in action the last 2 days. Number two, no, I don't know, because I doubt it could. Our guest hosts tend to stay away from controversial issues, which means that maybe you need to come in next week and keep the conversation going.
Send me a text, and I'm available most days next week.
I'll text you during the break.
All right. Good All show right. today. Thanks, Captain.
Thank you, sir. I predict Jack Keller will be on the show next week talking about the budget mess, and he's absolutely right. It is a mess. We got Steven in Napomo. Hey, Steven.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good. Speaking about driving, I think more should be done about the road rage incidents that are going on all over the place with people driving erratically.
Like, what are you seeing?
Just people taking their anger out behind the wheel, just driving, cutting people off, or, just acting strange, driving too slow. And then whenever there's an issue, they pull over and they yell at each other or flip each other off or sometimes get into fights. It's happening all over the place. I think more should be done about that, maybe legislation.
And what might that look like? Or should it just be that police need to be more aggressive in ticketing people for road rage incidents? I mean, what do we do?
I mean, you see it all over. I mean, people are starting to use violence to get their point across. And if that's the case, I think there should be more police presence. People are starting to get into fights and stuff over, cutting people off or driving too slow or switching lanes and trying to stop people from progressing. I mean, it's getting dangerous. So,
well, I agree with you totally, Steven. It's gotten to the point where in my case now, I have learned that if somebody like cuts me off, I let it go because you don't know who's driving that other car. You don't know if they've got a gun or something else. You don't know if they're on something. It's just not worth it.
Oh, yeah, I agree, but everybody doesn't think like you or me. So I'm just saying, just something should be done. So
I totally agree, Stephen. Good to hear from you. I mean, Craig, again, you're the parent. Road rage. I agree with him. I see it, but I don't know what you do about it.
Yeah, that's a tough one because that's, I think it's more of a societal breakdown versus something that's out there causing it.
1996, when I was still living in Los Osos, I came in one day, I was on the morning show, and I got to the intersection of Los Osos Valley Road and Foothill Road, and I went to take a left on Foothill, and a guy come in the other direction was a motorcyclist. He cut me off and took off down Foothill, and I lost it. I was like, so I floor it. I'm chasing the guy. And I got saved because a slow cop was there, and the cop pulled me over, and he ended up giving me a ticket, which I deserved. I mean, I was going fast. I was chasing this guy. And the cop was like, why are you speeding? I said, that guy cut me off. I'm chasing him. And the cop asked a $64,000 question. Well, if you caught him, what were you going to do?
Yep, the classic dog catching the car.
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
On the you predicted three. Here's number one. On the Stolberg text line, I graduated in 1979 from Morro Bay and had Mr. Pop. I had to take my driver's test at a 1966 VW. I was so nervous to take off from a hill, but I passed. So that's one. Anybody else remember Mr. Pop?
Mr. Pop was the coolest.
I need two more votes for Mr. Pop. Also on the Stahlberg line, our DA is back from serving as a reserve. Have we welcomed him back? Have we welcomed him back on this show? No, but it'd be great to be in conversation with Dan Dow.
I think he's in town. I just recorded back. A commercial for him.
Yeah, I'm just giving him some space. He's been away from his family for 7 months. Let him get reacquainted and get back into the job. We'd be glad to have him on. But only on the condition have you seen you saw him. He got that mustache.
Well, I just got the audio. Okay. I didn't talk to him.
All right. We're not going to make fun of that little mustache he has.
What is it? You got an Errol Flynn type thing?
Yeah, it's got this little, I don't know.
What are they called? A push broom?
I don't get mustaches. I used to have a mustache.
Mustaches are great.
They're outdated. It's like having an AOL.com email.
No, mustaches. That's probably the only thing that I like about the, they don't call them the new generation, the millennials or whatever it is. They have an affinity for mustaches.
You don't have a mustache.
I used to. Yeah. When I was a kid, here's a story I can tell you.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I loved mustaches and I couldn't wait to have a mustache. And I looked up to Burt Reynolds and thought he just had the coolest mustache. And my parents gave me a shaving kit when I was a kid. And all it was a fake razor and like a fake little shaving cream thing. And I put the shaving cream on my face and then I'd shave it all off except for the mustache part of it and just leave that on. And I would dream one day that I would have a mustache, a glorious mustache.
All right. Here's Vic in Morro Bay. Hey, Vic.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, Vic.
It's fun to listen to your stories about driver ed, but the reason I'm calling in is about your trip to Amsterdam.
Sure.
And I heard your podcast. Incredibly exciting. So it's elevated to the top of our list.
All right.
But did you pre-book all those excursions or did you do it a la carte? Because you said it's very expensive, and I'm just curious how you picked and chose what you chose to do.
Now, that's a great question, Vic. Now, are you referring to the excursions that were part of the river cruise itself or the things that you could do in Amsterdam on your own?
Well, both. But I saw the tour boat, right?
Yeah.
You could sit there and just do the boat, and then you could pre-buy all these all these excursions, and it gets very expensive, as you say.
Well, let me give you the overview here. We got to Amsterdam on a Thursday morning, and the boat cruise was Saturday. So we had 2 days. And then the boat cruise ended the next Saturday, and we stayed another 2 days. So basically, we had 4 days in Amsterdam. All the museum things we did on our own. We went to the Rijksmuseum, the Van Gogh Museum, the Dutch Resistance Museum. We tried to get into the Anne Frank House, but it was totally booked already for the month of April. So those kind of things we did on our own. I recommend booking it. We went to the ballet one night. Just you can book all that in advance. Those things really aren't that expensive. Now, on the river cruise, we had two choices. One was to go a la carte and just pick and choose the excursions that were of interest to us. Or there was the, I don't know what you call it, just the special package where you did 10 different excursions for a fixed price. We chose right. that one. And frankly, that was just too many excursions, because what you were doing, there were two a day. You get up in the morning, have breakfast, and go on an excursion. And then you come back, and you'd have lunch, and then you go back out on another excursion. And
right. That's what you said. But is that what you booked?
Yeah. But because of the composition of the cruise, there are only seven of us who were not affiliated with one of these other four groups. There was a group of Germans and the Presbyterians and the women, yeah. you know, and so they were doing their own thing. So one day we had an excursion in the town of Ghent, and then there was supposed to be an afternoon excursion, and Kathy and I and this other woman just begged off because it was just going to be the three of us. And we're just like, you know what? We just want to stay on the ship and relax. And that's what we did. So it's a long answer. I would just do the a la carte excursions. Because the other thing is that you can get off on any of these stops, and you can set up your own trip to Bruges. You can set up your own trip to the tulips at Kirchhoff. You don't need to go on the ship excursion.
Right. And we've never done that with, you know, Caribbean cruises and all that. We've always tried to get private things off the beaten track, you know, get away from all that prepackaged stuff. But I was just curious what approach you guys took.
Have you been on a river cruise?
No, we haven't, especially not in Europe.
All right. Have you been on an ocean cruise?
Many times.
Okay.
But it's always been down in the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. Know. Well, you heard the podcast, and you can email yep. me at dave@920kvc.com. I'd be glad to answer any specific question. But the one lesson I learned is don't overdo the excursions. Yeah. And I also stress, Vic, that I went on the cheap. We got the bargain basement room, and it was $1,400 a person, which to a lot of our listeners sounds like a lot of money, but that's dirt cheap for river cruises.
Oh, my God. That's dirt cheap. You couldn't float down the Mississippi for that price.
Right. And then we get there, and they've upgraded us to a top floor room for no extra money. We just got lucky.
Yeah. Well, but, good for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, it sounded, you know, all of a sudden your trip just floated it to the top for us. We haven't been to Europe, and that seems to be the best. It was just fantastic description of your trip.
Oh, well, thank you. Are you a history buff?
Yes,
okay.
I really appreciated that story you told about World War II and
yeah.
the Disneyland ride.
Yeah, history. I cannot recommend this cruise enough through the Netherlands and Belgium, because you get the history in Amsterdam, you get the history in Arnhem, you get the tulips, you get to see Bruges. It's there was not a bad stop. And then
yeah, we're late 60s, so you yeah. know that history rings true for us.
And you got the book; it's bookend by time in Amsterdam, and that's just a beautiful, beautiful city. Can't recommend it enough.
All right. Well, I appreciate your show, and I appreciate the description of your trip. Thank
All right,
you very
Vic.
Much.
Thank you, sir. Again, my email is dave@920kvc.com. And if you didn't hear the Netherlands explanation on Wednesday, we're going to replay that for you after news at the top of the hour. We'll come back for a final segment right here on Hometown Radio. Lord. Looks like we got a lot of stories to cover next week. Jack Keller is going to be confirmed for Wednesday at 5. We'll talk about the budget mess in Sacramento. Here's Scott on KVEC. Hi, Scott. Scott, we got Scott. There he is. Hey, Scott.
Okay. Hey Dave. Hello, hey. Craig.
Hey.
So I listened to your podcast a little bit. I need to finish it, but you were talking about the bicycles in Amsterdam.
Yes.
And it's interesting because I've been there too. There's bicycles everywhere. I mean, it's probably been the same 30, 20 years ago as it is today.
But the difference is, as I pointed out, the bicyclist now has precedent. It used to be that the bicyclist had to yield to the driver or the pedestrian. Now that's changed. Pedestrians have to yield to bicyclists. It's crazy.
It is crazy. I don't know if I'll go back. I think if I ever went back, it would be the Royal Dutch Museum. But as far as the bicycles, you literally can just grab a bike and just take it to your hotel and leave it anywhere.
Well, 10,000 10,000 bikes end up in the canals each year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's so many. I mean,
yeah.
You can just grab one. No one locks their bikes. It's really quite, it's just, for some reason, it's the only place in Europe I've ever seen anything like that. So, but I'm surprised you didn't take a walk through the red light district or some of the downtown areas that are kind of, you know, scenic. But did you spend time in the city, or did you just sort of like go on tours outside the city?
No. We were in the second weekend. We were in the Amstel district. We were like two blocks from the National Ballet. We were about less than a half mile from the Jewish district. You know, Scott, I'll tell you straight up, if I were a younger guy, I probably would have had a different Amsterdam experience. But at my age and with my partner, I wasn't particularly interested in going to the red light district to look at prostitutes in the windows.
No, I know. It's just a tourist thing. You don't have to go. I mean, trust me, if I brought my wife too, she'd probably say, "Hey, do we really have to see that?"
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. If we had had another day, we probably would have walked through it. It just wasn't a priority. There's so much to see and experience.
So what did you think of the Royal Dutch Museum?
Oh, it was incredible.
About fine art. I'm sure you saw a lot of Rembrandt.
Oh, yes. Well, we started off that day with the Van Gogh Museum, which is right half a block away. So you get your fill of Van Gogh, and then you go over to the Rijksmuseum, the Dutch Masters Museum. Mm-hmm. And as I was talking about on the podcast, you have full appreciation for the portraiture of the 1600s, where you go to Van Gogh and it's the landscapes, and with Rembrandt it's more the faces and the skin tone, and you're like, how did they do that?
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful work. In fact, you'll see more of them in the Hermitage Museum than the Royal Dutch Museum, which is right. It's interesting how they have more, but. I was going to ask you, did you see Deuce Bigelow, the movie?
Did I see, I'm sorry, what?
It's the movie with Rob Schneider and Norm McDonald and Eddie Grant. It was filmed in Amsterdam. It's a comedy. So if you can watch it, but it was filmed in Amsterdam. It's called Deuce Bigelow.
Deuce Bigelow.
Oh, you've seen it, right?
No, I can't go near Rob Schneider. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, it was a comedy. I figured you've probably seen it. Well, hey, by the way, your next river cruise, are you planning one?
Are you kidding me? They're wonderful. They're incredible, but they're really expensive. I don't make that kind of money.
I found this one,
bargain basement, go for it, and I got lucky, and I got the upgrade.
So what do you do on the river cruise? Other you sleep early and get up because there's nothing to do on there other than eat and read books.
Well, you're just so believe me, you're so exhausted. You have a full day. So we didn't sit down to dinner till like 7 o'clock at night, and you're having a four course meal, And you're with, what, six, seven other people at your table. By the time you're done, it's 9 o'clock.
And are they small, Dave?
Is what small?
The river crews, do they feel small?
Oh, I mean, well they're small, but they don't feel small. They're very comfortable. You have room for about 150 passengers and about 15 crew members. It's very intimate. You see the same people every day. When you get off the boat, you're right there in the town. Oh, I loved it. I love the river cruise, but they're very expensive.
Well, listen, the podcast was great, Dave. You guys have a wonderful weekend, and talk to you next week. I appreciate it, Dave.
All right, Scott, always good to hear from you. Thanks for checking in. Craig, anything you want to say before you go to news?
Nope, I got nothing, except for I got a phone call coming in here.
Oh,
probably another scammer.
Well, let's find out. I bet it's a scammer. I bet it's a scammer. We're going to go to ABC News. Craig will update us on time saver traffic and weather together. No, it's Gary. Gary's not a scammer. Gary, what's up?
Hey, dude. Three quick things here. Just time for that. First, welcome back, and I'm glad you had a great trip.
Thank you.
Number two, the guest hosts were awesome, including Craig. So thank you to all the guest hosts. And they did a great job. And then number three, did you say at the beginning, I missed the beginning about talking about Authors Anonymous. Did you say you would have people from the movie on the show in the coming weeks or months?
No, I didn't say that.
The 10th anniversary?
No. The anniversary is this weekend. I'm just reminding people, if they've never seen Authors Anonymous, the movie I wrote, it's on Amazon Prime, or they can watch it for free on YouTube. That's it.
Well, it's awesome, and if you can get anybody from the movie on over the next couple of weeks or months, that would be fun to hear from anybody that was involved in the movie and seeing what they're thinking about and so forth and what they have to say. So
one never knows.
That works. It'd be great.
Gary, have a great weekend. All right, news, traffic, weather. Then let's go back to Amsterdam. You're listening to Hometown Radio.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.